Well, we are now in the book of Mark. If you would turn over there, that would be good. And I'm going to get my notes ready here. The book of Mark. Mark chapter number 1. Our theme this year is back to basics. And we have been going through four different areas in their basic Christian areas of walk and importance for the Christian life. And we've been trying to emphasize them this year. And I hope that you haven't lost sight of them. I know that it's easy to do. There's a lot of busyness throughout the year. It's easy to forget kind of what our theme is. And of course, that's my job to present it to you and remind you of it. We have already talked about two of the areas of the back to basics theme that we have. We have talked about Bible reading, and we've talked about prayer. Those were the first two areas that we as a church wanted to focus on this year that are basic areas that are important. And then the next two, the one we'll look at tonight, is witnessing. I do want to take a break from our study in Colossians and go over some thoughts on witnessing with you. And then finally, in a couple of months, we'll remind ourselves of the need to go back to basics in the area of fellowship as well. But let me remind you just of a few things that we learned in the areas of, first of all, Bible reading. You may remember that we talked about the fact that we need to set a time that we dedicate to Bible reading and prayer. And for most people, the best time would be the morning to get up, maybe before the kids or before anyone else, and have some time alone and read the Bible. But whatever time you choose, have a time that is dedicated for it. And then I encourage you to determine an amount of time. So don't just randomly take some time, but rather have an amount of time that you spend daily. We should pray before we begin that God would open our eyes, and then we should approach it as God's Word. I hope you remember that we should reduce distractions. And in my opinion, an electronic device is not a wise thing to use for your Bible reading. Again, you can take it or leave it, whatever, but as Paul said, I think I also have the Spirit of God, okay? I think it's wise for us to have a dedicated Bible that we use. There will be less distractions, again, my humble opinion. And then I would encourage you even to have a specific Bible, one that you enjoy reading. Those little things will make a difference. And then treat it reverently. We talked about the fact that we need to attempt to understand the specific book that we're reading. It will help open up the Word of God to us. And then we ought to seek not just to be inspired by God's Word. In other words, don't always be looking for some devotional thought. And a devotional thought's not bad. I don't want to discourage you from that. But if that's all we're ever looking for from God's Word, then I think we're going to be weak Christians. Bible reading should be more than just devotional thoughts. We should be seeking to learn more about God. Sometimes that learning about God isn't warm and fuzzy. Doesn't make me feel good for the day. But it does help me to know more about Him, to walk in holiness and bring honor and glory to His name. Again, devotional thoughts are not bad. And if God gives that to you, wonderful. But don't let that be the only thing you seek for. And then read consistently based on principle, not on feeling. And then in July, we looked at the need to go back to basics in the area of prayer. We talked about what prayer is. It's communion with God. It's seeking to know the will of God. It's asking for things. It's interceding for others. We talked about the fact that we should pray at all times, whatever our situation is. We ought to pray. When there's a need, we ought to pray. By the way, the Gilmores, when they were here on Sunday, one of the greatest things we did for them that they raved about when we were done with the meeting on Sunday morning, they thanked me two or three times for it. Thank you for praying in the service for the need that we have. It's a simple thing, isn't it? But that's something that we ought to do when a need comes up, when we're frustrated about something, when maybe our kids aren't doing right and the husband and wife are talking about it. You know what you ought to probably stop and do if you can? Stop and pray about it. Ask God right then and there to do something. So we ought to do that with prayer. And then what should our prayer look and sound like? It ought to be effectual, fervent. It ought to be a prayer of faith. That ought to have praise and thanksgiving involved. So those are the things that we've looked at so far. Now tonight, I want to look at this area of witnessing. that we as a church need to get back to basics on witnessing. How important is witnessing? Well, it's very important. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. We've already prayed for our message tonight, so let's just look at the Word of God. It says, "Now as he," that's Jesus obviously, "walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, 'Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men.'" A couple things I want to point out to you in that. Number one, I would point out to you that the very first thing Jesus wanted them to do was to follow him. If we're going to be fishers of men, the beginning is to follow Jesus. Because if we'll follow him, here's the truth of the matter, we will become fishers of men. What that means, if we kind of back that up and do some reverse engineering, you know what that means? That means that we can look very religious and we can talk a good talk about following Jesus, but if we are not fishers of men, we're not following Jesus. By the way, that's not to say that if you don't have 20 or 30 or 50 souls saved a year, you're not following Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is if you are a follower of Jesus, you will at least have the desire and some form of fulfillment of getting the gospel out to others. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. I'm not as, and I don't think God is as concerned with how many souls you see saved as whether or not you're obedient to the calling that God has placed on all of our lives to get the gospel out. That's what is important, okay? So when we follow Jesus, we are fishers of men. May I remind you as well, as we kind of begin, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. We won't turn there. You know the verses. It's the Great Commission, that we are to go into all the world, right? We're to carry the gospel into all the world. We're to teach them and make disciples of them, as some people use that terminology. But it says that we're to teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That is the Great Commission that was given to the apostles, and it continues on in the church to this day. That is our Great Commission. This area of witnessing for a church is important. I'm reminded of in John, I believe it's chapter 21 and verse 20, where Jesus said, and I think Brother Gilmore mentioned it on Sunday, where he said to his apostles, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And then I'm reminded of what Paul said in Romans 1:16. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." See, Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? We shouldn't be. I want to encourage you tonight that as a church, one of our main areas that we look at as this is a basic area, this is the fundamentals of what we do as a church, one of the primary things ought to be that we witness for Christ. And friends, if we as a church ever cease to really be a witness for Christ, I guarantee you the church will die. It will die. Some of you may remember some lean times that our church has had in the past. This last Sunday, of course, it helped that the Gilmores were here, didn't it? But the church was full. Now, again, the Gilmores helped. Did you notice that? I like it when big families like that come and visit because it made the auditorium even more full. But listen, even without the Gilmores, it was full here on Sunday. Boy, isn't that a blessing? That encourages me. That is a blessing to me. But listen, some of us remember times where it was really lean. Sunday mornings, just a few people. You know, one of the reasons why I believe through all of the trouble that we've had and all of the times of leanness that we've had as a church, one of the reasons why the church has not ceased to exist and the church has gone forward, sure, there's been ups and downs, but the Lord has kept us going. I believe that it's because by God's grace and preaching and teaching His Word, we've had a focus of getting the gospel out. We've never, by God's grace, gotten into a mentality of it's us four and no more within the four walls of this church. We're just going to hunker down till Jesus comes and, you know, hope that the liberals don't take over and kick us out. We've always had more of a biblical mentality of let's get the gospel out. This is our purpose. And God blesses that. God blesses that greatly. But more than that, and more importantly, it brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. So as we talk about witnessing, I want to encourage you with a couple of things. Number one, I'm just going to have 3 points, okay? Our first point is what our job is not, okay? So what our job of witnessing is not. First of all, our job of witnessing is not to argue with people. When we talk about the fact that you and I need to be witnesses for Jesus, first of all, we should not be arguing. That's not what we're talking about, okay? Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. This is something we've talked about recently. But I'm not trying to encourage you to be an argumentative person who's just a jerk to everybody around you. That when you see anybody who doesn't look like us, by the way, nobody looks as weird as we do, okay? But when you see people who don't look like us, boy, you've got to call them out, and you've got to tell them how bad they are, and convince them that they're, you know, wicked and on their way to hell just because of the way. No. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about witnessing. 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 24. Do you remember this passage of Scripture that we've looked at recently? And the servant of the Lord must not, what's that next word? Strive. That word strive, I would encourage you to look it up, to study what that means. The servant of the Lord, that's you and me, our job is not to strive with people. It's not to always be contentious with everybody and an angry individual that just likes to call people out. You know, there are groups that are like that. Now, some of the groups, by the way, I won't mention by name, although maybe someday I will. But on YouTube, there are some groups that are very popular right now among Baptists like you and me, and they go around and they just strive with people and try to make them angry and try to get them upset. And they go to places where they know people are living lives of debauchery, not to try to gently and kindly give them the gospel, but to get in an argument with them. And then when that person argues back and maybe gets a little furious, they claim that they're being persecuted for Christ. Hogwash. You're an idiot. The servant of the Lord must not strive. It means it's not our job to be a jerk to everybody who doesn't agree with us. What does it say beyond that? It says, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Should we confront people? Yes. But what should the attitude be? Gentleness. Patience. With an aptitude to teach them. That's how we should approach the situation, right? In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And we'll look at the rest of it here in just a little bit. But listen, we should be approaching this with meekness. So when I'm talking about witnessing, I am not talking about arguing. That's not what our job is. And by the way, when you see people that, again, claim to be independent fundamental Baptists, and again, some of them are on YouTube, and their whole shtick is about how argumentative they can be with people and calling them names and all kinds of other things, here's what you ought to do. You ought to click, get away from it, because that's not the Spirit of God. Friends, let me say that again. That is not the Spirit of God. And anything that is not of the Spirit of God, what is it of? If it's not the Spirit of God, it's flesh, right? Or could say the spirit of the world, but it's flesh. What does the Word of God say about the flesh? The flesh profiteth nothing. He that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption every single time. Do you realize even in witnessing? Even in witnessing, if it's just flesh, what will it bring? Corruption. It's not going to bring life. The Spirit of God brings life. So the Spirit of God has to be in charge of our witnessing. Okay? Very, very important. I want to encourage you and challenge you with that. Our job when we're talking about witnessing also is not only not to argue, but it's not to convince people. Uh-oh, that sounds a little strange. Look with me, if you would, though, at John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. We're not talking about the need for you to become very good at convincing people. John chapter number 8. John chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 47. Again, I'm not, by the way, with this, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have good answers for questions. The Bible says we should know how to answer every man, right? I'm not saying you shouldn't understand a little bit about science so that when an atheist talks to you about evolution or whatever they might use, that you can at least have some answers. There's nothing wrong with that. But when I'm talking about witnessing and when we're emphasizing that, we're not saying you have to be really good at convincing people. Because look at John 8 and verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Do you know of anyone outside of Jesus, or do you know of anyone other than Jesus, who had really good answers? I'm not saying that right. Do you know of anyone who had better answers than Jesus for those who were arguing with him? Nobody. Jesus put everybody to silence, didn't he? The Pharisees came, the Sadducees came, Jesus answered them, they had to be quiet. There even came a point later on in his ministry where the Bible says, from that point on, nobody durst ask him any more questions. Because he always had a good answer. And so a bunch of those Pharisees and Sadducees got saved because of Jesus' great answers, right? No. In fact, when he began to give them good answers, you know what they did? Most of them, they just left. To the point where in John chapter 6, Jesus even said to his apostles, "Will ye also go away?" Why? Because they weren't of God. In other words, they didn't really want the truth. You see, when somebody really wants the truth, you don't have to argue them into the kingdom of heaven. Listen, they will be hungering for it. And that's not to say, again, you shouldn't give an answer, but don't look at it as, in order to be a good witnesser, I have to be great at convincing people. Friend, it's not that way. Our job is not to argue. We're not talking about that. Our job is not to convince. And lastly, what we're not talking about here in witnessing is our job is not to convict. Our job is not to convict. Look with me, if you would, at John chapter 16. And you're thinking, uh-oh, pastor went off the rails. He's getting very heretical now. You mean we're not supposed to make sure people are convicted? Are we preaching some other gospel now, pastor? No. We're preaching the same gospel that's in the Word of God. Will men be convicted when you witness? Oh, yes. If you're doing it right, they will. But look at what John 16 says in verses 7 through 11. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. When I say that our job is not to convict people, I don't mean that the things that we say won't be convicting, because they will. But it's not my job to make sure that they're convicted. My job is to give them the truth and let the Holy Spirit be the one to convict them. And I've got to trust Him to do that. The reason I say that is sometimes if we're not careful, as I've mentioned before, we can add to the gospel. Because we've seen easy believism, and easy believism is not good. You know, the idea of, oh, you can be whoever you want, live however you want, just repeat this prayer and you'll get to go to heaven with me. And that's not biblical. But you know what else is not biblical? Is giving people gospel in such a way that we're pessimistic about whether or not they really and truly believe. Our job is not to convict them. Our job is to give them the gospel that convicts and let the Holy Spirit do it. Share with them the holiness of God. Share with them the judgment of God. Share with them what the Bible says about hell. Share with them what the Bible says about Jesus being the only way to heaven and good works not saving anyone. Share all those things with them. But friends, then let the Holy Spirit do the convincing. Let the Holy Spirit do the convicting of sin. You just give them the gospel and let the Holy Spirit do it. And listen, if they make a profession of faith, rejoice with them. Don't look at them and be the Holy Spirit police and say, well, I've got to see, 11 areas of repentance before I'll really pat you on the back and really believe that you're saved. Oh, that's not from the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit do the convicting and the, as it says here in John, do the reproving. So we've seen a few things of what our job is not. Let's go to a more positive part, what our job is. When we're talking about witnessing, what is our job? Well, look with me at Acts chapter number 1. This is the reason why, and when we chose the theme for this year, and we talked about four areas that were important. We talked about Bible reading and prayer, and we used the word witnessing. There was a reason why we used that word witnessing rather than soul winning. And it's because I believe from the Bible that really is our job, is to witness. Acts chapter number 1, look with me if you would at verse number 8. You remember this passage of Scripture here? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. They were to be witnesses. Well, what does a witness do? A witness tells what he has seen and heard. A witness gives his perspective on, this is what I was told, or this is what I saw. That is a witness's job. And Jesus said that when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost would come, that they would then be witnesses unto him. And you know what your job is in this world? It is to witness. It is to tell what you have seen and heard. And here's what you have heard, the Word of God. It's not your job to make little disciples of yourself. It is your job to give them the gospel. Tell them what you have seen. When you do that, by the way, you are not alone in that witnessing. Look with me at Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter 5, look with me if you would at verse 32. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. We start with verse 31 for context, that would be good. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. This is Peter now responding to the council. Verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When you are a witness of what Jesus has done and who he is, do you know that you're not alone in that witness? The Holy Ghost is there helping you. We often don't think of that in this world, but it is really something that as you and I share the gospel with people, now they can claim to be atheists, they can talk about how they don't believe, and they can claim to believe this thing and that thing, but deep down within, somewhere within them, at some point in their life, God has been working on them about the fact of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection for their sins. That's what I can know based on this verse. I may not see it, but I know it based on this verse, that God is working on them just as I am working on them. And I've got to trust God with that. And all my job is to do is witness. Just tell what I've seen. Look with me, if you would, at John 15, verse 26. John chapter 15 and verse 26. Another passage of Scripture that will say something similar. And of course, this is Jesus in the upper room discourse. And John 15 and verse 26, and of course he's with his disciples the night before he's betrayed, and he says in verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. There again is the twofold witness in this world. It's the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and Christians. So when we're talking about getting back to basics and witnessing, here's what we're talking about. You just going out and telling people what the Bible says. And yes, you and I need to do that. That is what we're talking about. And then, of course, the second thing that our job is, and we've touched on it already in 2 Timothy 2:24, number two, we are to instruct. That passage of Scripture, remember, it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So my job in witnessing is to witness, but then also to instruct, to teach them what the Bible says. Now, I can only instruct somebody if they will hear. But I'm supposed to be there and apt to teach. I'm ready. If they'll listen. Now, if they won't listen, hey, there's not much I can do about it. I'm a witness. I tell them about it. If they don't respond to it, okay. It's not my job to tie them down to a chair and make sure that they are instructed. But if they'll have any interest at all, I can instruct them. That's my job. And that's your job, friends. And I want to encourage you, as you're witnessing, look for people who are willing to listen to your instruction. Look for people. Now, one of the most important things you can do with people is be a friend to them. People will rarely listen to us if they don't feel like we care about them. We need to first of all, in most cases, we need to have some type of a relationship with them. Not always. And again, you and I know we have soul-winning times here at church, and when we're down on State Street, you don't have time to make friends when you're handing out that gospel tract and looking for an opportunity to get the gospel in. But for instance, in my neighborhood, what I'm trying to do with my neighbors is I'm trying to make friends with them. I'm that weird neighbor right now that whenever somebody new moves in, I'm there. And I knock on their door and I say, hey, my name is Mike. I live just down the road. What's your name? And I feel very weird doing that. But you know why I'm doing that? I want to be their friend. And I'm looking for an opportunity to give the gospel. By the way, I got a chance to give the gospel to give a tract to one of my neighbors just the other day. I'm excited about that. Gave her the gospel film card. Said, hey, look at that QR code. Watch that film. She said that maybe they would come to church sometime. I'm excited about that. I hope they will. But listen, I'm trying to maintain a friendship. You know what that means? Sometimes, as a neighbor, you have to put up with some stuff. Sometimes, when you could be like every other neighbor, and when your neighbor does something that you don't like, you can kind of say, hey, would you knock it off and not do this anymore? Sometimes, as a Christian, you got to keep your mouth shut because you want to maintain a good rapport with them and be a friend to them so that someday you can give the gospel to them so you can instruct them. That's what you and I need to do, and that is part of our job. As a witness, we need to be instructing. Let me give you the third thing that our job is. Our job is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is where it gets difficult. Our job is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, if you and I are going to be back to basics in the area of witnessing, you know that you can't live a worldly and carnal life and be fulfilling your job as a good Christian witness for Christ. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're going to be a good witness for Christ. Let me show you that from the Scripture. Look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. Years ago, there was this idea, and I don't know that it was ever specifically said, but it was the general idea of this. Soul winning covers a multitude of sins. Now, by the way, that's not a Bible verse. Did you know that? But that was a general idea that was out there. Again, I don't know that anybody actually said it, but it was the idea that, boy, if you can be a carnal Christian and you can have this problem, you can have a temper tantrum and maybe even, you know, yell at your kids during the day and have a bad relationship with half the people in your church family. But boy, as long as you're a good soul winner, then God's happy with you. I hope you see the error in that theology, right? Because the truth of the matter is, you can't be a good soul winner if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, you can be very religious looking. You can put on a good show. But in order to be a good witness for Christ, you need the Holy Spirit. Look with me at Acts chapter number 6, verse number 5. Now remember, this is where they're choosing deacons in Acts 6, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Notice this. A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So that's verse 5. So we learned about Stephen that he was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Now look with me down at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Notice verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Well, how is it that they were not able to resist it? Was it that he was just a super intelligent guy? Was that what's emphasized there? And, you know, he had all these books from different Christian apologists and gave him all this information so that he could refute all these claims of these false teachers? No, you know what the difference between him and others was? He was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. You know what faith is, by the way? Faith is taking God at his word. taking God's word and going, I believe what God has said, and I'm going to stand on it. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. If you want to be a good soul winner, you want to be a good witness for Christ, study, learn things. That's wonderful. But before you do that, get on your face before God and say, God, teach me what it means to walk in the Holy Spirit. God, show me the areas in my life where I'm filled with self and pride and sin and anger and flesh of all kinds. God, rid me of all those things that are me and my flesh. And Lord, fill me with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And do you know that if we will get filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, it will be amazing how we will be able to witness for him. And God will do great things through our witness. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The reason that I said at the beginning of this point is it's hard is, see, it's easy for us, easier for us, to many times just go through the motions. Okay, pastor said I'm to witness to my neighbor. Pastor said I'm to attend the soul winning time, so I'm going to do these things, and can I get this off my chest? And all right, I checked my time in. I did what he told me to do. I gave a tract to my neighbor. Okay, now I go back in and watch my worldly television and listen to my stinking music and argue with my wife and yell at my kids and kick the dog. You got a cat, you're allowed to kick the cat, all right? But kick the dog. I'm just teasing. Don't kick cats, all right? But I'm going to be just a fleshly Christian, and it's all right because I checked off the boxes. No. You and I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look with me, if you would, at John chapter 15. John 15. We looked at the latter part of John 15. Let's look at the earlier part of John 15. Still talking about our job being, number one, to witness, number two, to instruct, number three, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw that Stephen was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And now look at John 15, look at verse 4. You remember these words? Jesus said here, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do, what does it say there? Nothing. That includes in soul winning, doesn't it? Without me ye can do nothing. We need to abide in the vine. And that has to do with, synonymous with, walking in the Spirit. Abiding in him, walking with him, being connected with him, just like the branch needs to be connected to the vine. And listen, you remember the verse of Proverbs 11:30? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That connects with John chapter 15. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Jesus said that if we abide in him, we'll bear much fruit. If I abide in him as a branch, then I'm full of fruit. And what is my fruit, according to Proverbs 11:30? It's life. So that everywhere I go, people have access to life. Now, it's their choice whether or not they eat of the fruit of life. But it's there in my life. And everywhere I go, people have an opportunity to receive the life that Christ offers. Not because of me, but because I'm connected to the vine and he gives life through me. So it is important that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me encourage you, Christians, that as we are this year focusing on getting back to the basics, that yes, Bible reading and yes, prayer, but listen, learn to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can get back to the basics on witnessing. It's not okay for you and me to be worldly. Let me say that again. It's not okay for you and me to be worldly. It's not okay for you and me to walk in the flesh. Listen, if you are an angry person and you have outbursts of anger, or you're a person of lustfulness and lust shows itself in your life often, or fear and you're a fearful person, or you name any other kind of the flesh, any other kinds of sins of the flesh, listen, I want you to understand, that is not okay. That is sin. And God is expecting you and me to learn and to grow in this area of walking in the Spirit, to get beyond those things. Sin does not have dominion over us. So we got to be growing beyond those things. And if you have not grown beyond that, may I encourage you to get on your face before God tonight, even before the night is over, and say, God, it's sin that I'm fearful. God, it's sin that I'm lustful. God, it's sin that I'm angry. God, grant me repentance. Change my thinking. Help me to see my sin like you do. And Holy Spirit, fill me so that Jesus Christ and his life is lived out through me. That's what you and I ought to do, because if we are going to be witnesses for him, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, let me just say this, what our job is: to witness, to instruct, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and fourthly, to follow the Spirit's leading. We only have about 5 minutes left in the time that I want to take this evening, but may I remind you of a couple of passages of Scripture that I think you'll know. We need to follow the Spirit's leading. An example that comes to my mind is with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Something was special about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And what was special was, number one, that Philip went to a desert place. That's a place where hardly any people are. That's not the place where you would generally go to go soul winning. There's normally not anybody there. But the Holy Spirit told Philip to go. He went, and here was a guy. And what was interesting about the Ethiopian eunuch, that God had already been working on him, that he was seeking, that as he was going along in his chariot, he's reading Isaiah the prophet. He had just come from Jerusalem. He's reading Isaiah the prophet, and he's wondering about it. He's questioning in Isaiah, is this the prophet talking about himself, or is he talking about some other man? And as Philip went up, he was able to show him in Isaiah how that was a fulfillment of Christ. Boy, that was an easy soul-winning opportunity, wasn't it? Ripe fruit. He was led by the Spirit, and the Spirit led him to somebody that had been prepared by God. You and I, in this witnessing, you and I need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And that means sometimes the Holy Spirit might lead you to some unusual places where the Spirit has been working on somebody. But you and I need to follow through with that. Another example that came to my mind as I was studying for this is Peter in Acts chapter number 10. Do you remember Cornelius? You remember how important that was? Did the Jews, even Peter, James, and John, and the other apostles, did they think the Gentiles could be saved? No. They didn't think the Gentiles could be saved. In fact, God had to give Peter a vision. Remember the sheet descending with all kinds of animals in it, and the Spirit said, slay and eat, and Peter's like, I can't do that. I've never had anything unclean in my mouth. And the voice said to him, what I've cleansed, that call not thou common. And that was a sign to Peter that, hey, the Gentiles now are cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when the men showed up from Cornelius and they knocked on the door and the messenger came up to Peter, the Spirit said, go with them. Sometimes as the Spirit leads you, it will be to places that you go, this just doesn't make any sense to me. But you and I need to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's an important thing for you and me to do if we're going to be witnesses for Christ. You must believe that God is working on people even right now. And I want you to understand, He is. One of the dangers sometimes of you and me living in our society and having access to all the news that we have is we get a mindset and we think that everything we read in the news is true of every other human being in America or around the world. And it's just not true. Not every person in the world, and even in Madison here, hates God and wants nothing to do with Him. Just because our mayor does, doesn't mean that everybody does. There are people that God's working on. There are people that are wondering about eternal life. And you and I need to, by faith, understand, even right now, the Holy Spirit's working on somebody. I wonder if it's that person. I wonder if it's that person. I wonder if it's that person. And we ought to be praying and asking God to lead us to those on whom He has been working. Now, as we close, my last point, very quick, I want to give you four practical points. These four practical points came from a book that I was given, and it's a good book. And I'm going to show it to you so that maybe someday you can get it and read it if you don't already have it. And it's called Take It Personally, and it's from Paul Chappell. Okay, he's a pastor in Lancaster, California. This is a good book. Small book, all right? Very easy to read book. And it's about witnessing and taking the gospel personally. This is a good one. And these four points that I'm going to give you are from that book. Let me show you one other book Probably my favorite on soul winning, also by Paul Chappell, is this book, Out of Commission. If you've never read this book, I would encourage you to read this. This is a good book, very easy to read, and a challenging book as far as it'll challenge you to be more serious about getting the gospel out. Those are two very good books. But let me give you those four practical points from that book if you and I need to or want to get back to basics in the area of witnessing. Number one, make a commitment. Make a commitment. It will not happen if you don't make a commitment. If you don't understand that it's serious, that God wants me to do that, then you won't do it. You need to understand that it is a command that God has given and that I'm going to do it. Just like hopefully you tithe. I hope you do. Hope you understand how that's something that a Christian ought to do. Hopefully you read the Bible daily. Hopefully you pray, right? Those are things that you understand. Boy, this is something God expects me to do. Therefore, I'm going to do it. Well, witnessing for Christ is the same. It is something you and I need to make a commitment on. Number two, set a plan. Set a plan. Number one, make a commitment. Number two, set a plan. Again, you and I can understand the importance of something, but if we don't plan for it, it won't happen. Guaranteed. Okay? You've got to set a plan. In other words, you've got to set a plan to maybe reach a specific neighbor this year. Maybe you might think about some holiday coming up. All right, let's see here. What's the next major holiday? Would it be Thanksgiving as the next major holiday? I think that's probably right. Something like that. Maybe at Thanksgiving, you could say, all right, I am going to make a week ahead of time Thanksgiving, I'm going to make an extra pumpkin pie, and I'm going to take it over to such and such a neighbor. And I'm going to use that as an opportunity to try to witness to them. And I'm going to set it on my calendar, and this is my plan. I'm going to use that as an opportunity. Or in the summer, it might be, you know what, I'm going to have a backyard barbecue, and I'm going to invite two or three of my neighbors over, and I'm going to look for an opportunity and plan that God will give me an opportunity to witness to them at that barbecue. And you might even, two or three weeks out, put it on the prayer list here. Imagine having a prayer request on the prayer list where you're praying for souls to be saved. Be a good thing, huh? Set a plan. Let me give you another opportunity to set a plan. One of the gifts that God has given you is a local church that has an outreach mindset. We have opportunities throughout the week for you to join with us in witnessing. The reason we do that is, here's what I know. Most of us are not going to be very good at fulfilling the Great Commission and being witnesses if we don't have somebody to do it with. That's just the truth of the matter is. And that's me too, by the way. And so we have a plan where you can go out with others. That's what street ministry is all about. It's not because the pastor needs something more to do and Brother Dexter needs more to do. It's so that you have an opportunity to go with others. Maybe you need to set that on your calendar and say, this is something I do every week. Or, you know, maybe it's the DeForest outreach, or maybe it's the Spanish visitation, or whatever, but you set a plan. This is what I do, and I'm going to make a commitment and set a plan. Number three, seek God's help. Pray about it. Pray about it. Seek God's help. Pray about it. Number four, prepare a message. When I say prepare a message, I don't mean have a 3 points in a poem like you're preaching up here. What I mean is, come up with an idea of how am I going to approach the gospel with others. There are many plans out there. There's the Romans Road. That's a very old one that has been used by churches like ours for a long time. It's a good one, the Romans Road. If you need information on that, I can get you information on that. That's a good one. Another approach is using the law as an opportunity to convict them and bring them around to salvation. That's another good one. Here's a real simple one. Sometimes I do this. I just ask people, hey, are you interested in knowing how you, when you go to heaven, knowing that, I'm sorry, when you die, knowing that you go to heaven? I usually stutter like that too. And that endears me to them. Are you interested in finding out how you can know you're going to heaven? And then looking for an opportunity to get in there. And then I'll use something like 1 John 5, 12 and 13. Just real simple verses that share the gospel concisely. Something like that, but have a message ready so that you know I'm going to go here and I'm going to share this and pray and watch God use you in great ways. But as a church, this year, we need to get back to the basics in the area of witnessing. Let's pray, and I'll let you go. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us tonight to look into your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us to be witnesses for you. Lord, forgive us for, and forgive me for the many times, Lord, that we have been cold and hard. We've turned away from opportunities. We've not wanted to sound awkward or maybe even say the difficult thing. Lord, forgive us for that. Teach us what it means to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I know that if we're filled with your Spirit, witnessing will be natural. So, Lord, would you teach us what that means? Would you forgive us for walking in the flesh? Help us to walk in the Spirit. I pray you dismiss your people with your blessing. Keep them safe. Help them to be a witness even tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.